Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. 1 John 5:18. Many fail to recognize the claims that God has upon them. They profess to be sons and daughters of God, but they do not behave as children of God. They argue that their evil habits and customs, which they followed when they serve under the black banner of the Prince of Darkness, must be excused on the ground of their weakness, while they claim that in this it is their way. The objection of heredity traits of character they choose to retain as idols. When a soul is truly converted, all habits and natural evil besetments are done away in Christ Jesus, and all things become new. Among those who profess to be servants of Christ, an earnest purpose should be cultivated, such as Daniel manifested in the courts of Babylon. We know that God was his strength and his shield, his front guard and his rear guard. Amid the corruptions and surrounded him in the courts of Babylon, he kept himself free from those sights and sounds which would allure him and draw him into temptation. When his duties required that he be present at scenes of revelry, intemperance, and basest idolatry, he cultivated the habit of silent prayer, and thus he was kept by the power of God. To have the mind uplifted to God would be a benefit in all time and in all places. Let the soul cultivate the habit of contemplating the world's Redeemer. Help us being laid upon one that is mighty. Jesus has given his life that every soul may have abundant help in him. Will you read these words, resolve that you will never again seek to excuse your defects of character by saying, "It is my way"? Let no one declare, "I cannot change my natural habits and tendency." The truth must be admitted unto the soul, and it will work the sanctification of the character. It will refine and elevate the life, and fit it for entrance into mansions which Jesus has gone to prepare for those who love him.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you give us an opportunity in this brand new year in 2007 to prepare a message for your people. We most grateful and thankful, Father, and we pray that, Father, we prepare this message to give to your people today, that there will be one, this will be one, that they will search the scriptures once again to see whether those things are true or not. We ask you for a double apostle, your Holy Spirit, upon our lives and upon the lives of the listeners. Guidance, protection for your people all around the world. Father, when all is said and done, we pray that once again we lift you up like in the past. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to say a very special welcome to those who might be listening to us for the first time, because we have a change of time, I think, for this day. So we want to welcome you who might be listening to us for the first time and say a welcome to our regular listening audience. And we ask that you continue to listen and lift up your prayers to help the Turning Point program and Turning Point Ministries. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us at 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website, where you can find the direct email for Brother Renrick, Brother Paul and myself, Julian, and Marlene McKinney. And also at our website, you would find articles written by Brother Renrick, Brother Paul, and also some help tips written by Sister Marlene. Also, we have links to some very interesting websites that we believe will help you in your health and your spiritual growth. And that website is www.tpministries.org. Now, as most of you who are regular listeners of Turning Point know, we have a regular two-hour program show that comes on kind of regularly, just about every month. For the month of January, we have not decided exactly on which date it will be, but it will be shortly. However, in preparation for that, this afternoon's program is going to be award that gain in terms of the program we'll be dealing on that night, and that is Once Saved, Always Saved. We'll be dealing at our two-hour program, Once Saved, Always Saved. But the topic of our series this afternoon is Once Saved, Always Safe. So tune in, listen. If you have any comments or questions you might want us to address during the two-hour program, please write us, call us, email us, but let us know, and so we could deal with it at that time. Also, prepare your questions early if you want to call in, because as you know, late in the program, We get short time, and it seems as if that's the time when we have most of our callers. But before we begin our program proper this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us a little insight in 2007. It's only a couple of days now into 2007. What does the newspaper have to say in terms of what prophecies or religious activities we could garner from that?
Well, Brother Julian, the newspaper is backing up exactly our comments that we made last week, that it's not going to get better. As a matter of fact, just a couple hours into the new year, a young man was shot and killed, and today his family is being grieved over that situation. His name, is Mr. James Miller. We'd like for you to pray for his family and all other families that are grieving at this time. Also coming to the newspaper this week is the National Hero Chairman, was making a complaint that he wanted the government to do away with the Queen's honor list. Sebastian Campbell. We know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we always tell in the program it's not right to call a man father, but because of the interest of destiny, he's taken upon himself at this critical time in its history. He's making that, he's telling the government to do away with his Queen's honors list and asking his clergymen to also stay away from being honored by the Queen's honor program. But you know, like in programs past, we tell you that it's not good to honor any man. And as a matter of fact, if you want to do some honoring, you should honor all men. But you know that's not the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you are not in the circle, if you're not in the in and ins and the ups and ups, then you know you don't get anything. You have to wait for that prize that Christ will give you himself. And that's the best one to wait on, because when he comes, he said he will give his reward to every man when he should come. Also coming from the paper this week, the people in the Farm Road area, that's the area where our Prime Minister is in charge of, in this area, in this constituency, where they are afraid of the violence and crime that is going on there. I mean, this is a really sad story that is going on there in that neighborhood. But do not be fearful, because in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the fearful will be lost. Also, the Bible tells you God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. So at this time, the word of the Lord comes to us, so that once you are on the Lord's side, he will put his protecting edge around you, if it is his will. Remember always, if it is his will, because even when Christ died, of course, the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, if it is not your will, then let your will be done. And we know what his Father's will was, and also the will of the Son, that he died on Calvary's cross for us over 2,000 years ago. And be assured that he will be returning pretty soon. And when he that shall come will come, ladies and gentlemen, he will not tarry. The question is, are you ready for that glorious day?
My first question to you, panel, Brother Paul and Brother Henrik, is, since our topic is dealing once saved, always saved, could you explain to the audience this afternoon, what does it mean to be saved? What does that mean?
Well, Brother Julian, to be saved simply means to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. So come to the understanding that there's nothing good in you according to Romans chapter 3. There's nothing good in us. And as a matter of fact, the good news of the gospel is the Bible says Christ commanded his love towards us, that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the good news, that he didn't wait for us to give up our old lifestyle, our old sinful habits. He commanded his love towards us. Because of that, the Bible says, we live and move and have our beings.
What does it mean to be saved? I like to sum it up in this statement that Jesus made in chapter 22. And the question was asked to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I think this is what it means to be saved, because when the Bible speaks in this verse of Scripture, this speaks of us keeping God's commandments, and it speaks of us keeping God's commandments in love. And really what this verse of Scripture does is it takes the Christian lifestyle, it takes what it means to be a Christian and a believer, and it puts it all in a nutshell, that we be obedient to Christ and faithful to him because of love, because we're motivated by love for him. And not only that, that we have love towards our neighbor. And I think in essence, at a very basic level, this summarizes what it means to be saved, to love Christ and be obedient to him and his word, and to have that same love for our neighbors just as ourselves.
My second question is being saved the same thing as being born again?
Is being saved being the same as being born again? Well, they go together, Brother John. You cannot separate them. Being saved and being born again, they have to go together, because the only way you can actually be saved if you're first truly being born again. And that's what Christ said to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. And you know, Nicodemus was that well-known figure that was in the days of Jesus Christ, and he came to Christ by night. You know, and however you come, Christ will always want to be there to reach out to you. So don't mind how you come, he just wants you to surrender to him, realizing that it's because of him we live and move and have our beings, and without him, there would be no us. We have to remember that Christ loved us as if we were the only person on planet Earth. And when he that shall come, like I said just a few moments ago, he will not tarry, ladies and gentlemen. So now is the time for us to prepare. Now is the time for us to be asking ourselves, are we rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ? Are we doing all the things that are required of us in this time as we see Earth's history begin to wind down? Just pick up the daily newspaper. And ladies and gentlemen, any minister of the gospel, any layperson, any father, any mother, sister, or brother under the sound of our voices today, if you think things are continuing the way how they always were, surely that means you're not in tune with the Holy Ghost leading your life. And this is a sad time to be in as we see Earth's history begin to cave in on us.
Okay, my other question is, what is the process or what is the procedure for someone to be saved?
Well, when we turn to the scripture, it gives us the process, Brother Julian, and it starts in our minds, in our hearts. And Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 shows us where it begins, when the gospel, when the truth, the light of Christ is presented to us and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And it begins in our mind with the belief on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Acts chapter 16 and 31 puts this in a nutshell, and it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. But it doesn't stop there. As a matter of fact, Scripture goes on to tell us what are some of the things that we need, that salvation is not only based on a belief, but it's also based on actions on our part, that we must take actions even after we believe. And Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 tells us, it gives instructions to disciples of what they should do, that when they go out to carry the gospel to all the nations, that they should go forward and preach this gospel, and those people that believe, that respond positively to the gospel, that the disciples should in fact baptize them. And the Bible says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So it's almost like a two-phase process, that it requires us first to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, being remorseful and repentant for our sins, and it requires actions on our part, starting with baptism and then going on and living that life what Christ has called us to live, reading and studying our scriptures daily, living a prayerful life, turning away from our old sinful habits, etc.
Well, Brother Julian, one of the things we must first realize that we need to repent from our sins. And this is a common factor that's being used by most ministers of the gospel around the world. You will always hear them repent. But the problem is, when you ask them what sin is, it appears if they have a tied tongue. They would do all they could to not quote 1 John 3:4, which says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So it's very important in this time for us to realize that sin is still a transgression of God's law. As a matter of fact, the newspaper was filled this week with all sorts of people being concerned about what's going on in the crime in the nation. We even had comments come from the Commission of Police, Mr. Paul Parkinson himself. Also, the Attorney General, Ms. Allison Gibson, Maynard Gibson. Also, from clergymen saying that they're concerned about the crime and stuff. But could it be that those who are most concerned are the ones who are most responsible for things that are taking place? Because surely, ladies and gentlemen, if the ministers of the gospel will be following the Bible principles, they should not be concerned of the crime in a point where they appear to be also appear to be fearful. One minister is on the record saying that he is right now thinking about going back on his strong stance against capital punishment because of the crime and violence that is taking place. Well, his Bible also tells us, along with our Bibles, that vengeance is mine, said God, and he will repay. So, I mean, ladies, like a matter of fact, last week we told you that the condition of this is going to be so bad before Christ comes back. That's Daniel 12:1. The Bible is going to be a time that was never was since there was a nation. I mean, if we are fearful now with these liberal things happening in the Bahamas, what's going to happen when this world really be in chaos? When men will be running to and fro, trying to find a way from the Lord. Turning point will not be on the end no longer. When that time come around, we'll be long gone. Because the Bible is quite clear, when these things come upon us, we need to flee from the cities. You read that in Matthew chapter 24 and get into the mountains or get into the keys, wherever it is be, because it's going to be a time, ladies and gentlemen, a bitter time, such as never was. And all the ministers of the gospel believe this. But the problem is they're preaching this false gospel that we talked to you about last year, where they teach about the rapture, where the church will be raptured and taken out of here, and only those that are left behind will go through the tribulation. But we told you last year where that doctrine actually originated. And if you're not around when we presented that message, we can also give you a copy of what we shared during that time. As a matter of fact, I think it's online. If you go to our website, that'll be under audio messages presented by Turning Point Ministries, where you can hear what it will be said about the doctrine of the secret rapture. There'll be nothing secret about it. And now men and women, boys and girls are concerned about the crime and the violence. But ladies and gentlemen, it's based on God's word, on the authority of God's word. The good news is those who are saved in Jesus Christ will be saved. They have nothing to fear and worry about. But those who don't know him, a fearful worry and a fearful woe will be upon them in Christ's return.
What must we do to receive what the Bible talks about of the gift of salvation, to receive salvation? What must we do?
Well, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 again adds to what I said earlier, and it's a very short passage, and it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that belief also requires us to, like Brother Paul said earlier, to be repentant of our sins, to confess our sins. And after we believe in Christ, we confess our sins, it then requires some action on our part, not just a belief and then walk away going on and doing the same thing. But a sign that we believe in Christ, that first sign that the Bible asks us to give is to actually go on under the water as a symbol that we truly believe in and that we're washed and cleansed of our sins by the blood of Christ. And that is symbolized in water baptism. I don't know if anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Paul.
What I would like to say on that is, and how would you know if you've truly been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you've truly been baptized, you'll find a good record of that in Romans chapter 6, where the Bible gives a parallel of when Christ was buried. He said, "Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ was also baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism in death. And likewise, Christ also raised him up from the dead in the glory of the Father. Even so, also shall we walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And this is the whole nuts of the cross of being baptized. You're bearing the old life and coming up with a new life. But a lot of people go down as a wet sinner. They go down as a dry sinner, getting a wet sinner, coming right back up as a wet sinner. So if our lives are not changed, if our lives are not transformed, then we know we're not living the life that the gospel is calling for us to live at this time in its history.
In the Bahamas, as we go around, we see that there are many churches. There's probably two or three churches on every corner. And my question is, if we are supposed to be a Christian nation, I read something in Nassau Guardian this week where I think there was a minister who said that everybody should take responsibility for their own actions. And one of the questions that was asked, that he asked himself, and I'm going to ask you to ponder this in, where have we gone wrong? If we're supposed to be saved, if the majority of people in this nation have salvation, if the majority of people are Christian, if the majority of people, if the majority of us are born again, where have we gone wrong?
One of the ways we've gone wrong, Brother Julian, is a lot of people are preaching a misconception of what the Bible really teaches. This doctrine of once saved, always saved is a doctrine being preached by many churches here in the Bahamas. I remember one particular Sunday I attended a church here on an invitation of three young people I met in my neighborhood ministering to some other people, and the doctrine just blew my mind that there are churches that teach this false doctrine. Just on Friday past, you know, we were discussing one of the gentlemen that work here at Zednes, who also believes this concept of once saved, always saved, and he said he's still doing his research. And we quote in this verse that I like to quote to you today. That's Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 24. "But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and do it according to all the abominable things the wicked man do it, shall he live? All his righteous that he had done shall not be mentioned. And in his trespass he shall trespass. And in his sins that he had sinned, he shall die." So the Bible is quite clear that once we, the righteous man, turn away from his righteousness and do that which, according to what the wicked man do, in his sins he shall die. That's Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. But the question you ask is, based on what the minister asks, is where we've gone wrong. Well, we've gone wrong because we have turned our backs on the word of God. And Jesus says it's best in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And Jesus also says in the same Matthew chapter 5, he says, "The time will come when men will be teaching men to break the commandments of God." That's Matthew chapter 5, I think it's verse 17. And here we are today, we are people teaching people to break the commandments of God, teaching them that if you just commit a little sin here or there and you die in your sin, you will still be saved. But the gospel has no place for this, ladies and gentlemen. We can say from Genesis to Revelation, if we die in our sins, we would be lost. Because if Christ should take you and I to heaven with our sins, that means he's going to have to take Cain, who killed Abel. He's going to take Lot, wife, who looked back. And all these other people who died in their sins, outrightly. Even, how about Lucifer? Not Lucifer. How about the gentleman who sold Jesus a 30 piece of silver?
Judas.
He also will have to be saved. But all these things, the Bible says, are written for our admonition and our learning who the ends of the world are come. And we are in that time, ladies and gentlemen. We are living in the end of time. So the time has come for us to search our lives to see if we are in the faith.
Well, the question that you asked, Brother Julie, is where have we gone wrong? And that could be asked on to two different points. Where have we gone wrong as a quote-unquote Christian nation, and where have we gone wrong as quote-unquote Christian individuals? I think there was a time, I remember a time when certain things came into the church, certain type of dress or certain type of music, you know, it would almost set off an alarm. You know, people would say, well, how could you bring such a thing within the church? You know, but now today, Brother Paul, we were sitting up front and looking through the newspaper, and there was a story about these Christian rappers and the concert that they had, and how the people were shouting and carrying on, and we even witnessed some of this for ourselves. So we're at a point now where the church is bringing the worldliness into the church, and it's gotten so bad that now the church can't speak out about the worldly things because the church is itself participating in it. And that goes both for the church as an institution and as for Christians as individuals. You know, where have we gone wrong? Where we've allowed so much worldliness and sinfulness in, we've taken so much pleasure in these things that, you know, it takes away our ability to speak out against the things that we see and may even believe that is wrong. But because we've taken pleasure in it, we've gone to watch the shows or participated in it ourselves, we can no longer speak out against it.
Well, I know one place person you can't blame them. If you get a newspaper this week, the Attorney General said you can't blame the government for the crime problem. I mean, I thought one of the things the government normally come on strength for is to try to keep the country in law and order. I mean, I thought that's what governments were all about. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, I can't agree with the Attorney General much more, because the Bible is on our side. You can't blame the government. You know, it's each of us individually. She said, one of the comments she made in the newspaper, in the Guardian, and the Attorney General said, you cannot blame the government. If people are walking home from Junkanoo and there are some words exchanged, I mean, you can imagine in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, that would end in murder? Yes. The Bible says it would end in murder. As a matter of fact, if you go in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says, not Proverbs 29, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in spirit. A foolish despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So yes, words can cause someone to end up in the morgue or in the graveyard. Because of words, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, it's because of words we have a sin problem today. It's because of words Satan was cast out of heaven. He wanted to be like the Most High. It's because of one twist of word that Satan told Eve causes our problems today. The whole world is in sin and chaos because one word Satan said, you shall not surely die. And even today, you turn on your radio, you hear ministers of God saying their loved ones went straight on to heaven. That means their loved ones did not die. When the Bible is quite clear that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible is quite clear that the dead do not anything. But today, ministers of the gospel who are concerned about the crime and the violence, ministers of the gospel who are asking comments at where have we gone wrong, are saying things that are not true, calling themselves fathers and reverends, the very reverend, the most reverend, the right reverend, when the Bible is quite clear that God and reverend holy is God's name, not mortal men like you and I, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. The time has come for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman, a workwoman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Gentlemen, there's a text in scripture that says that when you allow a little leaven in, it ruins the whole lump, does it not?
I'm glad you know what you brought it up. Just this week at my store, I had a lady stop at my store, and she was telling me experience that going on at her church, and I was trying to ask him. I said, on Sunday night past, me and my youngest daughter was watching television, and at this particular church, they were throwing money on the church floor in front of the pastor's foot, and I was asking, how did you all arrive at that? And she said, we are sowing a seed. I said, but you don't sow a seed like that. You know what I mean? And she was trying to tell me some of the things that are going on in this church. And I quoted the same scripture that a little leaven leavened the whole lump. But she told me of a situation I cannot to say here because I don't want anyone to read anything. That just blew my mind. I said, but did not the minister of this most popular church confront the situation? And she said, no. I said, something is wrong there. Like Brother Reinrich said, a little leaven
Level the whole lump.
That's right. And it just came back to my mind, you know, how much damage is television networks like BET or Tempo doing to our young people? You know, where they're being taught that it's a never-ending party, where the young men are being taught, okay, it's okay to treat a woman like a sex object or like a piece of toy. And, you know, the young men are patterning themselves after these guys that are, you know, driving around in the fancy cars, and that's life right there, and wearing clothes that is almost falling off to the ground. But how many pastors can open their mouth and speak out against this type of thing when they allow the same type of music and the same type of dress on their pulpit? And they call it, it's talent, or it's Christian rap or Christian hip-hop. You know, how many pastors can speak out against the so-called calypso music when they allow the junkanoo to rush out, going straight across the pulpit? It's just amazing. And but yet, you know, so many of these ministers are here today asking, where have we gone wrong?
My second question, again, as a Christian nation, and we saw last year there were 60 murders, I think, last year. That's 2006. And I think as of the taping of this show, we have at least one murder. Why are so many persons filled with anger today in 2007, panelists?
The reason why people are filled with anger, Brother Julian, is a fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus states clearly, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And surely we can see that it's happening today. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, when he was asked a question to show us the time of your coming, he said, for usually have wars and rumors of wars. And guess what he says next? See that ye be not troubled. Could it be these ministers did not read this? Let me read that again. Matthew 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that ye be not troubled. For all these things, the Savior said, must come to pass. But the end is not yet. That's good news or that's sad news? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is clear. As a matter of fact, in verse 8 of chapter 24, he says that all these are just the beginning of sorrows. So we haven't seen nothing yet, ladies and gentlemen. But he gives us the good news in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 13, he gives us the assurance, but he or she that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But that's not what's being taught today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 is being fulfilled today. Because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
And you know that those passages in scripture parallel another parable that Jesus gave about the church being asleep right before his coming. And it's when the church goes asleep is when we have the situation today where ministers of the gospel do not speak out, where the church members do not speak out against iniquity in their midst and do not live holy lives. Then we see iniquity rising and rising and rising. So those two things go in parallel.
But it shouldn't be, Brother Renner, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, just verse 1 or 2 I'll read, the Apostle Paul gave a charge to all ministers. I charge thee before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearance. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time may come. No, that's what we say. For the time will come when they should not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap up themselves teachers having itchy ears. And surely, ladies and gentlemen, we can see that it's here today in the year 2007.
Well, I don't think we have no time for no more questions. So let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege for us to come before your throne this afternoon. Lord, we come first asking forgiveness for our sins and any iniquities that we may have in our heart. We come before thee, O Lord, asking us for forgiveness and asking you to cleanse our hearts and our minds. Lord, we ask that you would give us the power and the strength to search out those things and see if they are true. And if they are, Lord, we ask for that power and strength again to go and do those things that are right. Those things, not that we believe are right, but those things that we know are right through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We ask, God, that you would be with us this day. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, if you need to contact us, you can call us at 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be a junior family. This is Paul Miller.
I'm Renrick Moe.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
This is AM 1540 ZNS1, the National Voice. You are listening to the program Turning Point. The time now, 1 p.m. We invite you to continue to listen.